Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we've come to verse 6 in this series that I've been doing through the summer months called The Power of Love. And by the way, you may or may not realize that this love is vitally connected to our worship. Psalm 63:3 says, "Your love to me is better than life, therefore my lips will praise you." And so as you come on the Lord's Day with your life filled with the love of God, and that love is better to you than life, then you should have no problem worshiping and praising Him. And so our love for God and our worship to Him are vitally connected. Well, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6 that says, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, the essence of our relationship with the Lord is all about who we love and how we love. And 1 Corinthians 13 shows us how we go about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and loving others as we love ourselves. Now, some of you may read the newspaper on Saturdays. There's a section called Cheers and Jeers, and I generally don't read it all that seriously. Occasionally, I'll read it just to see if there's someone from our church who is mentioned in one of the cheers, something extraordinary that you've done to help somebody else, but most of the time, I really don't pay attention to the jeers because it's typically just somebody looking for an excuse to gripe about something, and so I generally try not to focus too much on that, but the cheers and jeers section in yesterday's paper, for instance, there was a cheer that came for a church in Weatherford, and a pastor there that had an extraordinary 4th of July celebration, and someone wrote appreciating that church. And then there's a jeer just above it, someone complaining about the way they sang the national anthem at the Rangers game at the ballpark. And then there is a cheer, actually, that came from someone in our church appreciating a particular food service place here and a restaurant here in town for their exceptional service. And then there's a jeer, someone complaining. Again, so much of this is so petty, they're complaining that someone in the doctor's office is tearing the recipes and the magazines and the food section out of the magazines in the doctor's office. I mean, that's really important stuff, isn't it? I mean, life is going to fall apart if somebody doesn't stop tearing the recipes and the food sections out of the magazines in the doctor's office. Typically, I don't read those things, but it's just a reminder to what we have here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6 is basically a cheers and a jeers section. Because there are certain things that we are to cheer, and there are certain things that we are to jeer. 1 Corinthians 13, 6 says that love does not rejoice in doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Paul said a similar thing to the church in Rome. In Romans 12 and verse 9, he says, "Your love must be sincere, without hypocrisy." He says it this way, "Hate what is evil and cling to what is good." Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And those words are very strong words. When he uses the word hate, he means to abhor or to loathe what is evil. It means to be disgusted with something. The question is, does evil disgust us? We shouldn't choose against evil. We need to develop a sentiment against it, that we are disgusted with it. So love is to be sincere, and if it is, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. The word cling to means to hold fast to something. And so it means that we do not just choose to do what is good, but then we have the heart behind that that clings to and delights and rejoices in what is good and what is true. So we come back to 1 Corinthians 13, 6, and I want you to see this just as two sides of the coin of love. what it doesn't do, and what it does. And so love is demonstrated negatively and then positively here in verse 6. First, love is demonstrated first by jeering evil. Love does not delight in evil. Or as Paul said it in Romans 12, 9, your love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Evil is unrighteousness. It's the opposite of right living. Now, when you stop to think about it, rejoicing in evil is an attack against God. When we delight in evil in any form, we are delighting in something that offends our Heavenly Father. And if we truly love God, we will love what He loves and hate what He hates. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so this is the way it works. If you get up in the morning and you start your day with God in His Word, from that moment you get up from your quiet time, you are going to be assaulted with every kind of opinion, with every kind of distraction, with every kind of temptation that is the epitome of the evil that is in this world. You're going to be assaulted on every hand, and it's going to lure you away from the truth, or at least attempt to. And the world will shout these things to you so loudly. Maybe through the news that you watch or stuff that you read on the internet or from the opinions of others. And it will seem that everyone is thinking this way and that you are in the wrong, that you are off track. And so you see there that there's this tension between the love of the world and the love of the Father. And we have to choose one or the other. And if we love the Father, we're going to hate what is evil. Love doesn't find any satisfaction in evil or sin, whether it's our own or someone else's sin. Now, let me just apply this in three ways for us this morning. First of all, love does not delight in evil that is done by myself. Obviously, this is the first application. I cannot delight in evil in my own life. But do we not rejoice and delight in evil when we spend our money and we spend our time on anything that dishonors God? It could be in the entertainment that we choose, or it could be in the close friends that we have close to us, or in the books that we read, or in the jokes that we tell. But if we truly love God, how in the world can we delight in something that disgusts God? Well, how do I know what disgusts God? Well, I'll tell you, it's very easy. You know what disgusts God by spending time with Him. In His Word, in prayer, you understand what in the eyes of God is disgusting. Now, Nan and I have been married for nearly 35 years, and during the course of that time, hopefully, I've learned what she likes and what she doesn't like, what is pleasing to her and what is not pleasing to her, and hopefully, I've been able to order my life so that I don't offend those very often. Occasionally, I fail. But I'm learning through the years more and more to understand what pleases her and what delights her and what does not please her and what is disgusting to her. And the same thing is true in our relationship with God. If I truly love God, then I'm going to try to understand all that pleases Him or displeases Him. As I spend time in His precious Word, I understand the things that are right in His eyes and the things that are wrong in His eyes, the things that bring Him joy and the things that grieve Him. And so love means that I do not delight in any kind of evil that could creep into my life. The second application is that love does not delight in evil that is done by others. First, evil done by myself, but also it doesn't delight in evil that is done by others. Now, remember, 1 Corinthians 13 is set in a context here. And it has all kinds of applications, but the first application comes straight from the text. Remember, it is Paul writing to a church that needed some instruction on how they're supposed to behave as a church, how they're supposed to act when they are together, the things that they are supposed to believe and cling to as a people. If you'll turn back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there is a powerful application of this. There was this horrific thing happening in the church in Corinth that Paul introduces here in chapter 5 and verse 1. Would you just look at it there in your copy of the Bible? If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. He says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife." Now, I don't have to go into the gory details here of this, the hideousness of this sin, but the fact is that there was sin in the church that was repugnant even to pagans. Now, what was the attitude of the church in Corinth about this sin? Well, it may surprise us that instead of decrying it, they were delighting in evil. Look at verse 2. "And you are proud." They're proud about it. It was something to boast about. Hey, look what we've got going on in our church. We have this freedom in our church where people can just do whatever they want to do, live the way they want to live. "You are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put this one out of your fellowship who did this?" We see here church discipline in action. That somebody should have loved this person enough to gone to them and say, "What you're doing is repugnant in the eyes of God. It's not fitting for a child of God to live this way." You know, today tolerance has become the ultimate value in our society. And if you stand against evil, sooner or later, someone is going to call you intolerant, which is the cardinal sin in our culture today. If you are intolerant, it's about the worst thing that you can do in the eyes of our society and our culture. But the Christian apologist, author, and speaker Josh McDowell wrote an article recently in Focus on the Family magazine, and this is what he said about tolerance. He says, "Tolerance says you must approve of what I do. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will love you even when your behavior offends me. Tolerance says you must agree with me. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will tell you the truth because I am convinced the truth will set you free. Tolerance says, you must allow me to have my way. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will plead with you to follow the right way because I believe you are worth the risk. Tolerance seeks to be inoffensive. Love takes risk," Josh McDowell says. "Tolerance glorifies division. Love seeks unity. Tolerance costs nothing. Love costs everything." So love does not delight in evil, as we see it in our own lives or as we see it in the lives of others. But there's one other application of this, and that is that love does not delight in evil that is done to others. You know, we often secretly rejoice over the misfortune that comes to someone whom we consider to be an enemy or someone that we're jealous of. And by the way, just by way of illustration, this is what happens as we are watching or participating in sports. For those of you who are golfers, tell me that you don't just delight just a little bit when the person you're playing with or playing against hits the ball in the water or in a sand trap or misses a short putt. Now, you may say, "Oh, I'm sorry." But inside, you're saying, "Yes, yes." It's what causes us to jump up and cheer when an opposing player, someone playing against the Rangers, strikes out. We jump up and cheer. It's also what makes us enjoy some movies or TV shows when the bad character gets what is coming to him. We say, "Yes." Now, all of that may be fun, but it crosses over the line when we secretly rejoice in our hearts when evil comes to someone whom we might consider to be an enemy. One of the ways that we rejoice in evil is through gossip. You know, it is the sin that many believers take very lightly, but it is something serious in the eyes of God, and God is opposed to it. It is a sin against God and His Word. You see, gossiping is rejoicing over the failures and the shortcomings and the weaknesses of others by repeating what has happened to them and rejoicing in what has happened to them. It doesn't help them, but rather it hurts them. And even if gossip is true, it is still sin. Some of you have been around long enough to remember the old TV show Hee Haw. And there was a segment in this series where some women, and I'm not saying anything about women here, it's just that the way they did it in the show. There was this group of women who got together and sang a song that said, "We're not ones to go around spreading rumors. Really, we're just not the gossiping kind. No, you'll never hear one of us repeating gossip, so you better be sure and listen close the first time." Someone has observed that nothing is accomplished and everything is hurt by a loose tongue. We need to be reminded of that from time to time. That love does not delight in evil if it's done by myself, done by others, or done to others. Love is demonstrated by jeering evil. It doesn't rejoice in evil. But the flip side of that is love is demonstrated by cheering truth. Love is demonstrated by cheering truth. So what is negatively stated in the first part of verse 6 is positively stated in the last part of verse 6. Love rejoices with the truth. That word rejoice means to be absolutely thrilled to the point of cheering for something or someone. Again, Paul would put it this way in Romans 12:9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, there are two kinds of truth here. Paul says love rejoices with the truth. It always stands on the side of truth. It stands with truth. There are two kinds of truth that could be referred to here. First of all, there's factual truth. And certainly one of the expressions of love that we will have for God and for other people is to live lives of integrity and honesty. Love rejoices in truth. We speak the truth in love. There's nothing that destroys relationships more than dishonesty and deception. And so our lives need to be based upon what is factually true. Love rejoices in factual truth. But perhaps what Paul really has in mind here is not so much factual truth, though that is true, but also there is scriptural truth. Scriptural truth. Truth that is revealed in the precious Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And so one of the ways that we fortify ourselves against evil in our world, to keep ourselves from delighting in evil, is to give ourselves mentally and in every other way to rejoicing, cheering for the truth that is revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Scriptures. Now, let me just pause here for a moment and point out something that may be easy for us to pass over here. And that is that what 1 Corinthians 13:6 tells us is that there is such a thing out there outside of us called evil and truth. Evil is not evil because I think it is. And truth is not truth because that's my opinion. Evil is evil because there is a God who exists who has decreed what is evil. And truth is true because there is a God who is truth and whose Son is the way and the truth and the life. And so this evil and this truth exist outside of us. It isn't evil because we think it is, and it isn't true because we think it is. It is true because God is true, and everything against that is evil. And so, if someone says there is no God, then that means that there is no objective standard of what is evil and what is good, what is evil and what is true. And so everybody begins to simply do what is right in their own eyes. And you can see where that leads any society. And people just ignore the fact that there is a God who is the source of objective truth. And then man becomes God, and we get to decide what is good and what is not good. And so, if there is a God, then he has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has revealed himself through the Scriptures. He has shown to us what is the will of God, and that is truth. And so, friends, what that means for us is that if we love God, we are going to rejoice in the truth that he has revealed in his Son, Jesus, and in the Scriptures. We will rejoice in the will of God being done in heaven and on earth. And so truth never changes because God never changes. And so it comes to us then to choose to align ourselves with the truth of God's Word. And you see, what happens to us is we get into trouble when we start saying, you know what, I don't really care what God's Word says is true. I'm going to live this way even if it defies truth. It's a dangerous thing for a child of God to do. You claim to love God, you cannot at the same time delight or rejoice in evil. Now, love rejoices when we see God's truth lived out in the lives of the people around us. You know, there are a lot of things that we cheer in the lives of our wives and husbands and our kids and the people who are close to us. There are things that we cheer for them. We're glad they happen. We cheer them when they make good grades. We cheer them when they get an award at work. We cheer them when they accomplish a physical goal or maybe change the way they look. We cheer them when they score a goal in a soccer game. And all of that is great. We should affirm any good that comes, any success that comes to people that we love. But I wonder, do we rejoice and do we cheer them on when we see the goals of God working out in their souls? Do we cheer them on when they see them embracing and clinging to the things that are good and godly? John said this in 3 John 4. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. That's what should cause our hearts to rejoice as we look in love upon the lives of the people around us, that they are walking in truth. Do you give thanks to God, not just that your loved one is healthy or has a good job or enjoying life, but also that they are in the center of God's will? Paul said in Romans 16:19, everyone has heard about your obedience, So I am full of joy over you. Are we as delighted when we see our loved ones walking in truth and walking in obedience as we are when they achieve some other kind of exceptional thing in our lives? You see, it comes down to this. One of the biggest choices you and I make every day is what we will delight in and what we will rejoice in. You see, it's not a matter of just choosing good and choosing evil, because ultimately we have to do that. But behind that has to be hearts that love and rejoice and delight in God and in all that pleases Him. And then our obedience and our choices flow out of that. Let me say something about the way you start your day. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Start your day with God. Start your day in His Word. Begin the day by delighting in and with truth as it's revealed in God's Word. You see, what happens is that we charge out the door in the mornings and we're out doing whatever we have to do in life, but we have not started our day rejoicing in truth. Because the minute you get out that door, you're going to be hit from every direction of the things that the world delights in. And if you're not fortified with the truth of Scripture, you don't have a chance of remaining true and pure. That's something about the way you start your day rejoicing in the truth. And then let me just encourage you a second thing, to spend your day rejoicing with the truth. When you see it lived out in someone else's life, stop and thank God for it. Rejoice in the Lord. When you see it fleshed out in something you hear in a song that you're listening to, or something you hear in the words of someone else, rejoice with the truth. Get yourself to a point where you are constantly listening for truth, and when you hear it, you rejoice in it. You say, yes, yes, yes. Start your day with truth. Spend your day rejoicing in what is true. And friends, I promise you that if you can build that foundation in your life, you'll be a lot more successful in living out lives that please the Lord.